From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans. Message is preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. O child of God, death hath lost its sting, because the devil's power over it is destroyed. Then cease to fear dying. Ask grace from God the Holy Ghost, that by an intimate knowledge and a firm belief of thy Redeemer's death, thou mayest be strengthened for that dread hour. Living near to the cross of Calvary, thou mayest think of death with pleasure, and welcome it when it comes with intense delight. It is sweet to die in the Lord. It is a covenant blessing to sleep in Jesus. Death is no longer banishment. It is a return from exile, a going home to the many mansions where the loved ones already dwell. The distance between glorified spirits in heaven and militant saints on earth seems great, but it is not so. We are not far from home. A moment will bring us there. The sail is spread. The soul is launched upon the deep. How long will be its voyage? How many wearying winds must beat upon the sail ere it shall be reefed in the port of peace? How long shall that soul be tossed upon the waves before it comes to that sea which knows no storm? Listen to the answer. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Yon ship has just departed, but it is already at its haven. It did but spread its sail, and it was there. Like that ship of old upon the lake of Galilee, a storm had tossed it. But Jesus said, Peace, be still. And immediately it came to land. Think not that a long period intervenes between the instant of death and the eternity of glory. When the eyes close on earth, they open in heaven. The horses of fire are not an instant on the road. Then, O child of God, what is there for thee to fear in death, seeing that through the death of thy Lord its curse and sting are destroyed? And now it is but a Jacob's ladder, whose foot is in the dark grave, but its top reaches to glory everlasting.
When engulfed by the terror of tempestuous sea, unknown waves before you roll, at the end of doubt and peril is eternity, though fear and conflict cease your
cross, a breathing new air. of the darkest night. Oh, how lonely death can be. And the Savior's nail-scarred hand will lead you to the light. For death is swallowed up in victory.
But just because stepping ashore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As Dr. Cairns continues the series of studies in the book of Romans, he commences a message called The Sons of God Identified. The text is found in chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In introducing this message, Dr. Cairns first explains the meaning of being led by the Spirit of God. This is a reference to what Paul taught in the previous verse about mortifying the deeds of the body. It reminds us that in helping believers to live holy lives, the Spirit leads them to heaven. This desire after holiness is an indisputable proof of being a true child of God. Now Dr. Cairns brings the opening portion of this message called The Sons of God Identified.
Now we turn back to Romans chapter 8 once again this evening. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 14. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now we come to the words of our text for this evening, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. People usually quote this text with reference to Christians having the privilege of knowing divine guidance in their lives. The text is usually understood to say that if you're among the sons of God, then you have the guarantee that the Holy Spirit of God will lead you. The subject of divine guidance. I'm fully aware that that's a very important subject. Fully aware that it's a very intimate subject in the life of every believer. That it's something that exercises the mind of every Christian sooner or later. It's usually sooner than later. However, in its context, keep having to say this, that context to a text is all important. Some people like to jump through the Bible, take out words here and there, and just give little or no recognition to the setting in which God places it. If you take your own words out of context and had them pressed against you, you could end up guilty of just about any crime under the sun and be put away for it. So, in its context, this text is not speaking on the general subject of divine guidance at all. It is something much, much more specific than that. Follow carefully and you'll see how Paul arrives at this position. He has been speaking about mortifying the deeds of the body. His great argument has been that as justified believers in Christ, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but he's saying by implication here, we are debtors to grace and to God. And for this reason, because we are debtors to God and His grace, we should mortify the deeds of the body. And now he goes on to say the words of our text. For, and I want you to notice the opening word of verse 14. It's connecting what is in this verse directly with what goes immediately before it. Verse 13, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Notice the connection. What Paul is saying in effect is that this leading of the Spirit of God is equivalent to that phrase, through the Spirit, mortifying the deeds of the body. In other words, these are two things that he's bringing now together. He's saying in verse 13, mortify through the Spirit the deeds of the body, and you'll live. Now the emphasis there is upon living, eternal life. Now how do you know this? Because, and he's going to go on to talk about those who possess eternal life, namely the sons of God. But how do you know you're the sons of God? You're being led by the Spirit of God, not just generally, but particularly in this matter of mortifying the deeds of the body. This mortification of the deeds of the body by the energy of the Holy Spirit is basically equivalent. At least I should say the energy that enables you to mortify is basically the equivalent to this new word, this leading of the Spirit of God. See, Paul is making here a very, very important point. He's establishing the truth that the Holy Ghost leads His people to holiness and to heaven. Never separate those two things. Never separate them. The Holy Spirit leads His people to holiness and to heaven. As I pointed out, dealing with the verses that go immediately before this, when God saves a person and puts him on the way to glory, the Scripture calls it the highway of holiness. That's the way to glory. That's the way that the Savior spoke of in Matthew chapter 7, when he spoke of that straight gate and that narrow way that leads to heaven. It's the highway of holiness. So the Holy Spirit leads His people to holiness and to heaven. And those people, and only those people, whom He leads to holiness, are assured that they are the sons of God, whom He will undoubtedly lead to heaven. Now here then is the teaching of the text. By leading His people to holiness, the Holy Ghost gives them indisputable proof that they are truly the sons of God. That's what Paul is saying. By leading His people to mortify the deeds of the body, by leading them in holiness, the Holy Spirit gives them indisputable proof that they are the sons of God. So I want us tonight to look at this text. The focus will be simply on the sons of God, and especially the sons of God identified in this particular way. Let me start at the beginning, and I will have three things basically to say. As you may have guessed before now, that doesn't prove anything. There may be 33 things under those, but three very simple basic steps. First of all, that the Holy Ghost does lead His people to holiness. In other words, what Paul is saying here is that sanctification is advanced in the life of a Christian by the power of the Holy Ghost. Here he's emphasizing something that he has been preaching already. The whole second half of Romans chapter 7 is about this very thing. We tend, and how often preachers reinforce this false idea, we tend to make people believe that salvation is all by trusting Christ. Salvation is all by grace through faith. And it's almost like you say to people, now you're saved, you're all on your own. It's up to you. I remember years ago a young fellow coming to me in deep distress. Things that are way, way wrong in his life. He says, I've tried everything and gone everywhere. The best advice you could get from one of the best, quotes, the best known, the biggest name or whatever, of Christian counselors, was just that you've got to make up your mind and do this. He says, I can't, I'm beaten. Look at the life I've lived. Look where I'm coming out of. And it's got me whipped. Well, you just got to make up your mind and do it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I do not believe in the Roman Catholic doctrine of quietism. I do not believe that a Christian just sits like a bump in a log and God does it all for him. That there's no activity. And this will become clear as we go along. That God does it all and there's no activity on the part of the Christian in sanctification. You will find that in Protestant and biblical theology, there are very clear categories. You can distinguish them. You must never segregate them one from another. But in some of them, God is the only actor. For example, in regeneration, you contribute nothing. Not the exercise of faith, not the exercise of repentance, not a tear, not a movement of a muscle. You contribute nothing to the act of regeneration. Regeneration is the act of a sovereign God by His Holy Spirit, whereby at His command and by His immediate energy, a dead soul is brought to life. The first evidence of which is faith and repentance. So there are actions in salvation like regeneration, in which the only actor is God. In other parts of the whole scheme, there is also the cooperating action of the human will. When God brings you into Christ, makes you a new creature in Christ, and He begins to sanctify you, you get commands as to what you are to do and how you are to do it. In other words, there is an activity that is human here. There is the cooperation of the redeemed spirit with the Holy Spirit. There is the cooperation of the will of the regenerate man with the will of God, by the Spirit of God. So I'm not for a moment preaching quietism, that you simply sit back and do nothing, and somehow, some way, God will make you holy. An awful lot of people make that mistake. Lord, take this desire away from me. Lord, let me never feel this again. Sometimes people are struggling with particular sins and the very desire they're asking the Lord to take away from them may be a desire that's fundamental to human nature. It's not the way to pray. If this is in its proper place, a legitimate desire, Lord, give me, and we'll go on to show how the Lord does this, Lord, give me by Thy Spirit such a working of grace, a direction of my heart and mind and will, that Thou wilt regulate these things in my life, and where I'm dealing with things that are sinful, that You'll enable me to mortify those things, put them away and make no provision for the flesh. There is an activity. There is a battle. But thank God there's a victory. There is a victory. There is such a thing as living in the triumph of Calvary and walking in the trail of Christ and the train of Christ's victory. There is such a thing for a Christian. Not sinless perfection, but Christian victory.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.